Good afternoon. Glad to see we got a few stragglers coming in. This will be the only talk that's not on irrigation. I'm going to tell you that up front. It's not on irrigation. But I am Wayne Ebelhair. I'm a research professor with Mississippi State University. And this is my 36th Beltwide Cotton Conference. I've only missed two out of the last 38. So with that, I have been on this agenda many, many times. I actually moved to the Mississippi Delta to work on cotton and rice, and I had never seen either one of those crops grow before. So that was about 40 years ago, so I've come a long way, I think, over that time. The topics to be covered today is the work that I've been doing over the last 17 years. Well, it's actually been about 20-some years that I've been working on crop rotations. I was far enough along in my career that I was able to do that for young scientists to work on crop rotation. It's hard to get many publications very quick out of that. So, you know, as you've been in the deal a lot longer, you've got time to work on crop rotation. So the first set I'll talk about is the work that I had that was sponsored through Cotton Incorporated looking at, it was actually nitrogen and potassium studies, but it had a rotation component. I'll first talk about that. Then I'll spend most of the time talking about the centennial rotation that was established at Stoneville in 2004. So the research that I'm going to be talking about has been funded over the years at different times for different reasons by Cotton Incorporated and the Mississippi State Support Program, and we really appreciate their input into this. The first studies that I'll be talking about was actually at two different locations. It was designed as a nitrogen rate by potassium rate study where we put out certain rates. The following year when we rotated to the cotton crop, we kept, if it was a low-end rate for corn, it became a low-end rate for cotton. Same thing with potassium, a low-end rate for K was a low-end rate, a low-K rate for corn was a low-K rate for cotton. And this is the potash source that we used for this particular study was a liquid. It was a 0016 product that made it easier for us to put it out with the equipment that we had. We had it at two different locations. One is the Delta Research and Extension Center at Stoneville. This was a bosquet, very fine sandy loam. The other location is at the Trivet Satellite Farm. This was a Forestdale silty clay loam. The production potential for the DREC site is a little bit higher than the Trivet site, and you'll see that in the data as we get into it. This rotation was set up so that you could actually see a corn area, a cotton area, and we just rotated back and forth. So in 2000, we had a corn area followed with two cottons. The next year, in 2001, we had cotton following corn and cotton following cotton, and we kept that system going through 12 years. Now, the first year, we did not have a cotton following corn because this particular field had never been planted to corn. It had been in cotton. The experiment stations in 2000 started in 2000, I mean, in 1904, and for as long as anybody could remember, this field had been planted to cotton. So this shows this is from June 12, 2003. And what you're looking at here, this is the layout of the field that you just saw. You've got a section that is cotton following corn, a section cotton following cotton, and a section that's corn. Now what's interesting to look at is if you look at the area in the center versus this area on the top, there's an obvious difference there. But the only difference, there's 100 plots out there. They all have the same N rate, K rate pattern in the field. The only difference right there between those two areas is one follows corn, one follows cotton. If we take a look at what happened at the end of the year, the cotton following corn averaged 1,416 pounds of lint per acre. The center section averaged 1,187 pounds. This difference is 230 pounds of lint per acre. And I call this the rotation effect. That's the only difference in that whole field. It's just that little bit of rotation. Okay, to get into some of the results. Now, I'm going to summarize this across a whole bunch of years. This is the Delta location from 2000 to 2011. This is the yields. If you look at the statistics at the bottom, that shows you the percent increase in yield with cotton following corn versus cotton following cotton. Now, this is averaged across 100 plots. So it's All the N rate, all the K rate, everything has been averaged together to show you just the field average right here. So, and if you look, you notice that there's a few negative numbers in there. We can actually reduce yields with corn. Now, I'm not going to get into, because of the length of time that I have to speak, I'm not going to get into some of the reasons why we can do this, but in this particular case, if you look at the rainfall in the summertime, if you've got an area that is being rotated behind corn, you tend to have bigger plants, bigger root systems. Now, if you got that going and you start off and you get into a really rainy season, what happens? Boll rot. So we can rot a lot of cotton on the bottom of a plant if we can't move air through there. So even though we had a great crop in June and July, because of all the rainfall, we rotted a lot of crops. So we ended up actually reducing yields in a couple of years, and you see two of those right there. Now, Tribbett's a little bit different area. It's a little bit heavier soil. Again, you see the response here to the rotation effect. The green bars are cotton following corn. The yellow bars are cotton following cotton. And again, you see a couple of years in there. There's a couple of years that you're right, just barely negative. One of the things that we run into, one of the issues we have with crop rotation tends to be managing our herbicides, managing everything we do, because when you get into a rotation, what you do one crop may affect the next crop. Going back to DREC, the first year we had low yields, we had Zoriel injury. We had a lot of white corn, and some of it even died, but that's the result of it being in continuous cotton forever. But we did see reduced yields there a couple of years, but not real, really bad. So let me shift gears now. That was the first real big effort at crop rotation. So at one of those, we averaged about a 9, at the Delta Station, we averaged about an 18% across all of those years per acre per year. Then at Tribbett, we averaged about 9% increase just from rotation, not changing anything else in that system. So we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk now about the centennial rotation. This was established in 2004 to celebrate the 100-year anniversary of the experiment station at Stoneville. When I was working on my PhD at the University of Illinois, I had the luxury, or the whatever you want to call it, of being able to work in the Morrill plots, which is the oldest rotation plots in the U.S. My major professor at the University of Illinois was in charge of the Morrill plots. And just to tell you how important they were, the undergraduate library at the University of Illinois is underground so that it doesn't shade the Morrill plots. So it does have quite a bit of information there to be had. Now, one of the things that I saw in long-term rotation work is most of these studies are limited in that they are replicated in time. And it's hard to get much data very quickly when you're replicated in time, which means you grow this crop this year, you grow another crop next year, you grow another crop the next year, then you're back, you get a second replication of the first system. You know, so after 10 years, you maybe have only replicated a couple of times. So this system is actually designed that I grow every crop every year, and it's replicated. So the different systems here, I have the only continuous crop is cotton. This was designed in 2004 as a cotton system. So one of the things that we're really interested in is looking at continuous cotton and how crop rotation affects that. The next system is a two-year rotation of cotton and corn. Now you'll notice treatment two starts with cotton, treatment three starts with corn. But at the end of 12 years, you've grown corn six times, you've grown cotton six times in both situations. Next system down is a three-year corn with 2 years of cotton. Remember, the cotton-based system. Most farmers at that time wanted to grow cotton. So this is one-year corn versus 2 years of cotton. The next system, now in 2004, we didn't have any that I know of corn, soybean farmers. All farmers were either soybean and rice, or cotton. So we didn't have anybody, but I just thought, you know, I put that in there, and I'm not sure why I did, but it's really important today. The next system, it actually takes into consideration the best of all worlds. We know that the literature tells us that there's a response of corn following soybeans, and we've shown a lot of data for cotton following corn. So this system actually takes advantage of both of those systems. And then the last system is the corn-soybean with 2 years of cotton. So This is the field where it's located. This is part of the field is a basket, very fine sandy loam. The other part of it is the Dubs. Part of it is Commerce. But we're able to take into account by replication those different soil types. So differences between the soil types in the field, we can actually account for those by the replications in the study. Now this is, the plots are actually 8 rows. They're on 40-inch spacing, 215 feet in length. We divide that into 4 subplots, and we harvest the center 2 rows of each one of those subplots, thinking down the road if there's some major issue that comes up that we need to look at, then we've got the possibilities of going into this study and splitting out some subplots that have been in continuous rotation for years. This gives us an advantage here. This is a technology-based study, so we're growing single-row cotton, single-row corn, and twin-row soybeans, and all GMO. So we switch varieties as something new comes along, but we are trying to maintain what the farmers are trying to do in this situation, and it is conventional tilled. This shows you what it looks like in the field. Now, this field is being supplied by a 4-inch irrigation line, so we have to irrigate one replication at a time to be able to do that. So this is what the field looks like. Now, I know this is a lot of data. You don't need to be even concerned what's on here, but what we do, we go in each year, we calculate the yield, so we've got the yields on every plot every year. And then we can take that, we can actually summarize parts of it that we want to look at because it's replicated. What you're looking at here is continuous cotton, which is the yellow bars, and the green bars are cotton following corn. And again, at the bottom, you see the percent increase based on the response. Okay, and if you look at the average, we've averaged 222 pounds of lint per acre per year over this 12-year period. Now, you see that there's quite a bit of difference in yield out there. In fact, if you look in 2013, we had yields of over 1,400 pounds in continuous cotton. But that same year, cotton following corn was a bale higher at almost 1,900 pounds of lint per acre. So, okay, thanks. So the other thing that we're really interested in is looking at nutrients, because when we start going to a grain system, we see a huge difference in nutrient uptake and nutrient removal. So we do the same thing. We take all that yield data, we go in there, and we can calculate the NPK and S uptake. But more importantly, we can come back and look at the removal. So this just shows you the P uptake, and you'll see that there's a lot of difference in N uptake, a lot of difference in P uptake there, depending on what the system is. But more importantly, we've also done this same thing for nutrient removal. So if you look, again, we've done that same summary across all of those treatments, all of them going on at the same time. And now there's going to be variations in there because the yield differences depending on what the yield does for a particular year. Now, this is one of the things I wanted you to look at. Okay, if you look at continuous cotton, the top bar here, okay, and you compare that to a corn-soybean rotation, okay, the nitrogen removal in continuous cotton, now this is over a 12-year period, this is the total, is 800. Just a little over 800 pounds of nitrogen. In that same time frame, the corn soybean removed 2,600 plus pounds of nitrogen. Now, granted, in the soybean system, most of that nitrogen is coming from nitrogen fixation. But if you look at P removal, more than double. K removal, almost double. Now, this is removal. This is what's actually going out of the field. So it's really, really interesting to start looking at. And so what that means is that difference is, let me put them all up here, ranges from 225% higher nitrogen removal, 78, 82, so at least 70 to 200% higher removal in a grain system than in a continuous cotton system. So just to summarize real quickly, I'm going to put these up there so you get a chance to read them. You know, in the first study, we averaged about 8.9 to 17.1% increase in yields of following corn compared to following cotton, you know, but there is potential for decreasing yields. But those percentages right there include those negative years. So, you know, in the centennial rotation, we're looking at, you know, at huge percentages there. So we're talking about 22% there. That's over a 12-year period. Some of the other things here, the nutrient removal, The last thing on the bottom is what's the most important to me as a soil scientist. When you start growing grain crops, then it's really important that you soil test. Because, you know, if you're removing two or three times what you were removing with a cotton crop in a corn-soybean rotation system, you're taking it out of the field much, much quicker. That's the end of what I had to talk about. I will let you know that if you go to the Plant Management Network and go to Focus on Cotton, this study in its great detail is included there. It's a 38-minute webinar, but it covers everything I just covered in great detail, along with a lot of information about the environmental impacts. It's got nematodes in there. It's got a whole bunch of information. So this is just kind of the highlights pointing you in the right direction. So, Paul, thank you.
Well, thank you.